All right, guys, thank you for that. We've got our next guest on the way for you. We've got Harris Legon joining us, CEO of Telegraph, to talk about the year in rail and give some maybe predictions for 2024. Harris, thank you for joining us. It's been a pretty busy year, from high-profile derailments to high-profile mergers, lots of leadership changes around the space. Give us kind of your overview and give me your top three. What were the three biggest events that you saw happen in rail this year?
Yeah, I'll actually start a little bit. Good morning, by the way. I'll actually start a little bit closer to more recent times. It has been a while since we have seen the level of swagger coming out of every C-suite of every major rail player in North America. There is a strong desire to compete and offer new services that hasn't been prevalent for the past 15 to 20 years. And so I'm personally really excited to see that. That's an outcome, and there are probably a handful of inputs that come into that, mainly around that back in the 2021, 2022 run-up, we saw an increased focus on productivity, so a lot of cost-cutting, a lot of focus on the operating ratio, which left the railroads pretty flat-footed in their ability to respond when a stronger volume actually did show up. And so I think that was one lesson that we saw in the earlier part of the year. And then I think, as a result of that, when your share price underperforms, there's a lot of pressure on the boardroom to make some changes to actually turn some results. And so I think one of the really, really exciting things about the industry that I'm personally excited about for 2024 is there's a desire to grow. And that growth is only going to come through some new line services, some expansion of opportunities to convert more truck over to rail. And long term, I think that will likely raise some prices or raise questions around pricing and performance over the long term.
And Harris, as we look at going into 2024, one of the big things, of course, has been trucking capacity that might impact overall rail volumes. What are going to be some of the things that you're expecting going into 2024 compared to what we've seen so far in 23?
You know, I think on the prior segment, they were already calling out some of this, right? Truckload capacity has remained fairly viable for most of the year. When I think in the earlier part of the year, there was a big, there were a lot of exclamations that we would see a lot of capacity exiting the market. So I think one of the things that I was really surprised by is the Logistic Managers Index hit a 49.4 back in November, a drop from where it was in October. So the outlook there isn't particularly strong. So after seeing that, I automatically go over to the inventory to sales ratio. That's still fairly elevated, but it's cut a couple of different ways. So I think one of the interesting things is that there's still quite a bit of tonnage out there, mainly in the B2B space. So a lot of appliances, a lot of electronics, some apparel still moving around in some truckload spaces, but it is nowhere near the amount volume that we saw in prior years. I think the bigger question for me is revenue has been on a pretty flat decline since 2022. And so if that holds up, tonnage remains fairly flat, revenues continuing to decline. I do have a broader question around truckload capacity as we go into 2024. As that relates over to rail, I think one of the really, really interesting things there is that if capacity doesn't exit the market, it's going to be really hard as a railroad provider to be able to compete pretty heavily in intermodal.
So, Harris, you mentioned the swagger coming out of the C-suites of a lot of these U.S. Class 1s. And I really want to hit on that because it's fascinating when you look at the conversation that we had this time last year, right after we saw, of course, the threat of the union strikes and those kind of shakeout of the labor contracts. We were sitting here and we were talking about, okay, now we have the workers who have this upper hand with the leverage. How do the railroads respond? And do they respond from a culture change? And I think between that conversation this time last year and now, we have seen not only kind of a heightened awareness of the American public of the viability and value of the American railroad system, but we've seen the rails themselves respond with an answer to that challenge, right? We mentioned the shakeup in the C-suite, that CPKC merger, the fact that lots of rails from Union Pacific to CN are looking at adding kind of these extended offerings. And it's really pulled out this opportunity for a kind of resurgence of the values and the culture of the American railroad. Do you think that we're kind of poised for that moving into 2024 with the swagger of the leadership and with that heightened kind of U.S. American awareness and valuation of the rails?
Yeah, that's a good point and great memory, by the way. I think it's really unique. So when we look at when we tend to face an outcome-driven society, right? We want to look at the operating ratio or the stock price or, you know, the outcome. That is where railroads have traditionally been anchored. But I think one of the really interesting things is when you look at their hiring and their retention of employees, across every single subdivision, across most of the major class ones, they are actually over-resourced from a crew and a locomotive standpoint. And you see the majority of those leaders leaning into their employees. They are spending more time out in the field now than they ever have been before. And I think that's a very positive signal for where it's going to go. The question really becomes, and you asked about, are we going to value the railroads more broadly as a society and as a consumer base? Well, I think there's a lot to like there, right? Four times more fuel efficient than truck, tends, 20 to 40% on a tonnage basis and a lower cost and, 70% to 80% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. So if we all like those pieces, we should like using rail a little more effectively. And I think one of the responses we've seen out of that is railroads are performing at an all-time high. I think when we look back to where they were back in 2021, they are 10 to 25% basis points better on a velocity, on a car placement, on an intermodal availability. So we're really excited to see that. I think the big question, Kaylee, is going to be, how long do you hold on to those resources and not lay them up or not lay them off if the volume and the revenue isn't there? And railroads have done a really good job on escalating prices over the past decade. But I think part of the challenge is if the volume isn't there on a per unit basis, I think it's going to be really challenging for the railroads to stand up and have that courage to say, we're going to stand behind our people, we're going to keep them employed, and we're not going to make any moves to satisfy the boardroom or the outside investors, because we believe as an industry that we are more viable when we're well-resourced for when that volume does come back. And if you believe in the American economy, it will come back.
And Harris, one last thing before we let you go here is your take on different types of regulatory processes to expect going into the new year. Are there any expectations going into that 2024?
Look, reciprocal switching and that whole discussion, look, the comment period was actually reopened and extended. So I don't think it's really a question of if that is implemented in some form or fashion. It is more of a question of when. I'm not sure if we're going to see an exact one-to-one of what we have in other countries, especially in Canada. What I would expect is that we will see the probably the first couple of pitches and maybe first couple of at-bats as it relates to measuring those service standards and probably scorecarding the railroads. Right now, if you go into the details, it's fairly hand-wavy, fairly flippant, hasn't really kind of locked down to an actual framework. I'm looking forward to seeing that framework getting developed. And I think 2024 will actually provide a lot more insight there. The big outstanding question there, Kaylee, and it's going to be interesting. Marty Oberman, the chairman of the STB, has announced that he's going to retire. So I wonder what that will actually have an impact from a regulatory standpoint.
Certainly a lot of activities going into 2024 and a lot of excitement still up in the air. Harris, thanks so much for joining us. For those that might want to reach out or find out more about Telegraph, how can you do that?
Yeah, always reach out, harris@telegraph.io. If I don't respond in a couple of hours, we'll probably send you a free deep dish pizza.
Harris, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
See ya.
Right now, we're going to toss things over to Kaylee Nix with our next look at today's weather.